Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I'm a coach, a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl. And this podcast is all about helping you to become your calmest, happiest, and most confident self. So on the podcast today, I get to speak to Becky Raven, who's a friend of mine. She is a wonderful business coach. She's a brand consultant, a speaker and presenter and entrepreneur. And she's all about helping people to get lit. She explains exactly what that means in this episode. She has so many useful ideas on helping us to master our mindset and feel better about who we are, dial up our self-worth, how we can build the life of our dreams and become the happiest version of ourselves and really unlocking our fullest potential. And I think this really comes through in this episode with Becky. She shares a lot about her own transformation, the journey that she's been on to really shifting her mindset and changing her life in quite dramatic ways. We get into this topic of being lit up, you know, turning your light on. This is something that Becky is really focused on helping people with. And why, for so many of us, we can hold ourselves back from really shining brightly and being confident because we are so scared of what other people are going to think. And so she just shares a lot about this and how we can overcome those barriers so that we can just be our most confident selves. We talk about the inner critic. We talk about anxiety. Becky shares some really practical tools that she helps her own clients with. And we also get into the topic of social media and that pressure and how we can try to not allow social media to take over our lives. So I would love to send you some free resources to help you to become your calmest and happiest and most confident self. You can head over to karmayou.com/free, enter your email address there, and I'm going to send you those free resources, MP3s, worksheets, loads of practical tools and updates about the podcast. And you can get that at karmayou.com/free. So let's get into the interview with Becky Raven. This podcast is sponsored by my favourite activewear brand, Sweaty Betty. There are so many activewear brands to shop from, but Sweaty Betty is special because all their products, from run and yoga to swim and ski, are engineered to last. This is not fast fashion, it's high quality, and I actually have several pieces from Sweaty Betty that I've had for years and I continue to wear and love. Sweaty Betty have introduced a leggings take-back recycling scheme. Partnering with global textile recyclers, Sweaty Betty customers can return their unwanted leggings of any brand to any of their 60 standalone stores across the globe. And in exchange, you'll receive a reward voucher, which can be redeemed on your next purchase. Since its launch in October 2019, the program has already saved over 2,000 pairs of leggings from going to landfill. Pop into one of their stores with your old leggings to grab that voucher towards a new pair. Head to sweatybetty.com/sustainability to find out more. Hey, Becky.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
It's nice to be here. It's nice to be being interviewed for once.
Yes, on the other side of the situation. Can you share with us what do you do and how do you help people and what's been your journey to get to where you are today?
Okay, wow. So what do I do? So I guess firstly, I'm like a business coach. I call myself a business mentor and like empowerment coach because it's not just business focused. So I guess my biggest like mission is to help girls light up and like know that they can have more, that they can have anything they dream of if they just believe in themselves, to help them like turn down the volume on their inner critic and like step into their light and step into their power. So I guess how I do that is I work one-to-one with predominantly wellness coaches or entrepreneurs in the wellness space. So whether they own a studio or they are a yoga teacher, instructor, or life coach, health coach, nutritionist, PT. So I work with them one-to-one to help them build their business, but also to help them believe that they're worthy of building their business and confident enough to step into the limelight, make impact, increase their visibility. So I do that one-to-one. And then I also have a group coaching program where I, again, work with wellness experts to help them build their business, but it's a lot more on like their own journey. We give them the resources, they access it. And then I host events, my own Get Lit podcast. What else? That's about it, really. Oh, and then I'm a founder of an online wellness magazine, which is written by the leading experts in the industry. So it's kind of all working with entrepreneurs who want to grow their business, but also people who just want to have more and are maybe lacking in motivation, kind of the go-getters of the world who might not be shining yet or dreaming of shining or have a dream that they want to pursue. And then how did I get here? You know what? It's so weird because it kind of all just makes perfect sense, but I would never have guessed that this is what I would be doing like ever in a million years. I actually started as an advertising manager working at Hearst Magazine. So I was like managing a department of girls, predominantly graduates, who we were selling all the adverts into kind of all of the magazines. But on the side, I've always struggled with food intolerances. I was born like lactose intolerant, and I've just been a highly sensitive person with like all these autoimmune issues. So I was always researching kind of alternative methods of healing, which back then alternative methods were like going gluten-free. Like obviously now the whole world's gluten-free, but like back then it was all about like gluten-free, like the things that I was doing that were helping me get better that weren't your like usual types of medicine. And I was blogging that as I was kind of like going along, and had always been super sporty my like entire life. So started blogging what I was eating, what I was doing, and then that turned into blogging fitness, and then I became a personal trainer. So for like 2 years I was double lifing in the corporate world and then also being a PT and blogging and sharing what I was learning and kind of just getting immersed in the whole wellness fitness scene. So I did that for like 2 years, which was also probably a massive part of the whole journey too. So I kind of had like my heart was in one business, and actually I did love my corporate career as well. I loved it, and I'd always thought that that's what I wanted to do and I wanted to go up this ladder, but it wasn't like fulfilling my heart. Like it wasn't like really filling me up. And so I got really confused because I was like, which one do I want to do? Like my heart's over here in fitness, but this pays the bills. And this is all, and also I think it was a lot more because that was all I ever wanted. I always wanted to work in a corporate career, in a publishing house, with magazines, wearing heels to work and being this like successful on the outside woman, that it was really confusing for me when I started questioning what I wanted and that wasn't filling me up. And like, hang on a minute, how did the gym and trainers like make me so happy? So I kind of did the both for 2 years, and then I couldn't really take it anymore. And actually the universe gave me a little bit of an amazing nudge and made my boss redundant and kind of moved the whole department around, which basically meant that I had an out to leave. And they kind of, they wanted me to step up into his shoes, didn't give me the pay rise, kind of all the things that went with it. So it really made me kind of step into my power and go, right, I really need to figure out what I want to do here. So I jumped basically and took the leap, went self-employed. I actually set up an influencer marketing business with a business partner of mine, which kind of made me have a regular income for a bit and learn the wellness industry even more. We kind of got to know all the brands, we got to know all the people. And then on the side, I got to build my like wellness magazine, which was alternatively healthy. And I'd actually been through a kind of massive thing with Hearst, probably should say their name, but yeah, where they asked me to pitch to them what Alternatively Healthy was so that they might launch it as a magazine. And I was obviously really excited, and it made me do this amazing business plan. And obviously working in magazines, I saw that there was like this wealth of like the rise of people wanting to know about health, and there wasn't as many magazines, and obviously there was Women's Health and like Runner's World, but they were being written by journalists and people with an interest in fitness but not qualified experts. And so I found this like gap in the market and was like, I think we need an online wellness magazine that isn't just about abs and how to lose weight and shred and burn, but actually like how important your mind is to your health and your healing and alternative methods of healing. So whilst I was doing that business with my business partner, I was able to kind of like follow my passion with both the personal training, but not put too much pressure on it being my earning and income, and then also building the alternatively healthy brand. So again, meeting loads of experts and getting out there. So we ran that. We've been running that for like 4 or 5 years now. And then what just naturally happened is as I grew out of being a personal trainer, I realized that the bit I loved about being a personal trainer was I loved helping girls believe that they were way more than what they thought they were. I attracted all the same girls and they were all just carbon copies of me. Like, they were going through the same things that I'd gone through, even to the point where like loads of them had lost a parent and I didn't have a dad. So it was like I was really attracting just mirrors of me, and they were all in amazing shape but couldn't see it. And so I was like, this isn't fulfilling me either, like helping them look a certain way. Like, we're so much more than that. And I really, for like a year, lost my message as a PT. I was like trying to tell girls that they could get fit and look a certain way, but also trying to tell them that it wasn't about how they looked and they were so much more than that. And I got really lost, and I went away to Australia and I was just so uncertain of who I was. And I kind of like fell into this hole as well, as I took myself out of my comfort zone. All my issues that I'd been ignoring kind of came up, and I started battling with my own body issues again and food. And I realized I was so routine with my food and so restricted with my food, but I didn't notice because it was so routine. I was just living my normal life. So yeah, in Australia I got really lost, and I kind of came home and just committed that I was just going to spend a year working on myself and my own growth. And then it just all fell into place that actually what I started doing was helping all of these experts that were working through the brand build their brand and kind of consult them. And then I took a risk, a massive risk. And I was like, I've been in this industry for 5 years. I don't know who I am or where I'm going. And I took on a business coach, and she was the one that then was like to me, what are you doing? Like, you've got so much to give. You should be coaching people as a business coach. And I was like, what, me? And she was like, absolutely. Like, you've run 3 businesses for the last like 5 years. You've got a degree in it. Your advertising and marketing background, like, you have all the skill sets, and you've worked as a coach yourself in the industry, so you know what that industry looks like. And then it just from there fell into place. Like, there was no pushing, there was nothing. It just all kind of fell into my lap. And then I started business coaching people, getting loads of traction there, and I couldn't physically take on any more one-to-one clients, so I created the community. So it's funny because I think people think it's all about just jumping into the unknown, but actually I was doing all of the steps along the way. So yeah, every dot like kind of connects. If I hadn't have done advertising and marketing, I wouldn't know how to market my business. If I hadn't have done the PT stuff, I wouldn't know what it's like to be in a PT in the industry and the challenges that you face. So yeah, that's how I ended up here in kind of a not so short nutshell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes we can look back on our careers or lives and just see how things maybe seemed kind of circuitous, but actually everything was teaching us something and pushing us in a certain direction, and everything was kind of happening for a reason.
100%.
How do you think you transformed personally throughout all of this?
Oh my God. I would say like hugely, and I'm really honest in anything that I do. I really like always draw back to like where I was, because I think as coaches sometimes we can like want to be seen to be professional and have all our stuff together and like we haven't been on a journey. But like, I also believe that most people in this industry aren't here unless we've overcome something. And I literally was talking to a friend yesterday, and she was like to me, the person that you are now compared to who you were 4 years ago, 5 years ago when we moved in with each other is like a completely different person. Like, the words that I use, the things that I used to say, the I used to talk so badly to myself. Like, I'd look in the mirror and be like, oh my God, you're gross. And like, just was so harsh on myself. I used to literally have this like sign on my forehead that was like, don't talk to me. And it wasn't because I was rude and I didn't want to talk to people. It was just because I was so insecure. And I didn't think I was like worthy of being spoken to, which most people didn't also understand, because I was quite, I'm an out there person. Like, I've never been an introvert at all. So I am confident in like so many ways, but I was never confident in myself. And I believe they're like very different things. I could hold a room, I could, you know, stand in front of a group of people and talk, but I just didn't love myself enough. So I think the transformation, I have really like for the last 4 years hugely focused on my growth, and I've just gone deep, and I've faced so many like things that I was trying to like think that I wasn't bothered about. So like, for a let me think about this. So before I was born, my dad actually died. He died a week before I was born. And I kind of spent my whole life thinking I was very unaffected by it, because I didn't lose. I didn't know any different. So I kind of just shied away from it, never asked my mum any questions. And actually what I've really learned since doing all the work on myself is like, that really caused so many problems for me. Like, I kind of learned that you have to fend for yourself, so you have to always be on the go and like push and shove your way through life, and that you have to work super hard to earn money because it doesn't come easily. I learned that every man always leaves, and so I learned so many conditioned things in my mind at that point from what I had kind of been through, that I had some real demons that I needed to face. And a lot of it was just chasing approval from other people because I was desperately seeking my dad's approval. So I was like, wanted to be the most successful in business because I wanted someone to approve of me. And I wanted to have the most amazing body because I wanted someone to approve of me. And I wanted everyone to tell me that they liked me because I didn't like me. So yeah, there's been a huge transformation. Even in the last year, I would say, like, I really just stepped out of my fear of being seen and out of my comfort zone and have just, like, been trusting a lot more in the process. But yeah, if anyone had met me like 3 years ago, I mean, you knew me like 3 years ago. It was so different. I just was kind of felt like the world was against me, and I felt like I wasn't ever worthy of being successful. So yeah, there's been huge growth. Huge.
Amazing. Mm. Wow. Yeah, I think I met you. I remember when I met you, and I think you just left your job. You were just about to. It was like you were in your last week of that job, and you were just taking that leap into the next chapter.
That was a scary time. That was a really scary time. I often get asked by people, like, how can I leave my corporate job and do what I love? And I kind of am like, I did it, but there was a lot going on behind the scenes for, like, 2 years before I did it. And then in the last 6 months before I did it, I cried every day. I had this like anxiety inside of me every day, like all the fears were coming up for me, but also like, was I making the right decision? Was I going to be supported with money? Is this what I want? Am I crazy? And then you have your mum being like, have you saved enough money? And I remember meeting you actually, and I was like, I was so excited by what the future could hold, but I was so petrified. And ultimately, I never really believed. It wasn't that I didn't believe in my ability to achieve all the things that I wanted to do. It was more that I didn't think I was worthy of shining, and I was so afraid of being the girl that went for it. And I kind of think that that's what so many people struggle with. It's not that they don't believe they can do it. It's that they don't want to be the girl that steps out and like be who does she think she is, and like how dare she shine her light, and that was my biggest fear.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate to that you can feel very exposed and kind of naked and vulnerable when you're putting yourself out there, and it's not easy.
No.
And people, I mean, I still feel afraid when I'm going outside of my comfort zone. I don't know if it goes away, really, no matter what you do or how much you push yourself. I think there's always new levels to get to. So do you think that aspect of, I know you've spoken about this before, and I hear this a lot from people, you know, what are other people going to think if I suddenly set up my own business? Or what are other people going to think if I suddenly start going on Instagram stories and talking about things? Is that something that you see a lot?
Oh my God, so much, so much. And also, like, coming from quite a like big uni group myself, when I started doing my blog, like, I can't tell you how many people took the piss out of me, had something to say about it, and they were like, who does she think she is? It's so self-indulgent. And that's the whole like message behind Get Lit, really, is that I want more women to feel safe to light up and know that it is their birthright to light up and to shine, and that actually they're not serving not only themselves by not, but there are so many people who need their light. There's so many people who need them to kind of show up and shine and do whatever it is that their purpose is here for. And we can become so caught up in what other people think about us. And I think I was on like a spiritual retreat in Thailand, and I was having a healing session, and this man said to me, like, why do you work the way that you do? And I was like, because I want to be successful. Like, I want, and it wasn't like, oh, I want to help people at that stage. It was, I want to be successful. And he was like, but why? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, you do know. I was like, I don't. And then he was like, okay, when you were working out and you were like so obsessed with how you looked, what was your driving force behind that? And I was like, I guess I wanted people to approve of me. And it was so simple. He just turned around to me at that moment and was like, the only person approval that you need is your own. And like, as long as you like your work and you like who you are, it really doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. And it was like, it just spoke straight to my heart. It was like exactly what I needed. It sounds so simple, but I was like, oh. And I say that to so many people now on like my events and stuff. And even to them, they're like, oh, it's like this. We're like waiting for everyone else to tell us that we're amazing. But as long as we love and we know what we're doing, I always say to people, like, if you have a mission or a purpose, it becomes way more important than your insecurities. If you genuinely want to help people or genuinely want to do something, you tend to then not worry as much. about what other people think of you. And also the other thing I always say to people is, like, people really only have something to say when they're triggered by what you're doing. So
yes.
I call myself out on that all the time. If I ever find myself judging someone, I'm like, okay, what's she doing that is triggering me? And I remember there was like a few girls that used to really trigger me in my space as coaches, like a couple of years ago, and I couldn't follow them. And I was just like, oh, like, she's so irritating. Like, she's just, and I realized it was all because they had absolutely no fear of being seen. They were just authentically themselves on their social media and they were out there. And I was so petrified of doing that, that for anyone who is ever worrying about what other people might say, it's really about worrying about, firstly, there are going to be so many people who are going to say things who are just bitter and jealous because they're desperate to do it themselves. They might not even know that that's the reason. But also, just worry about the people who care about you. I've done a lot of, like, surrounding, like, a lot of, like, decontaminating my field of energy in life, as in, like, who I'm hanging around with.
Mm.
Like, I really had to separate myself from some people. And I know some people meant well when they were, like, joking and laughing and, like, you know, it was humbling and, like, I love them for it. But then some of them I just had to be like, listen, like, this is my work. And every time you message me something like that, you make me question whether I should do it or not. So, yeah, that shows up a lot. I think it's one of people's biggest fears is what other people will think about them.
So it's about remembering that what you think of yourself is the most important thing. Yeah. And also that other people are maybe projecting their own insecurities onto you. It's not actually about you. It's kind of their own stuff. Don't take it to you personally. Yeah.
And when you say that to someone as well, I always say to someone, notice it when you do it yourself first, or notice if you are around a friend and they say something about someone else. Just check in and ask yourself if you know that that person's struggling with whatever it is they're talking about, because I just really believe, like, comparison and judgment all comes from our own insecurities. And every time I then got clear, like, every time I was judging someone, I was like, that's me. I'm doing that. I have a problem there and I need to work on that myself. And also just to know that that is what this whole message is that I want to really spread, is that, like, it is safe. It is your duty in life to shine, and you have every right to. And it just feels amazing when you are, if you're doing it for the right reasons.
Totally. What about comfort zones?
Ooh.
Can we talk about this? Have you gone out of your comfort zone by any chance?
Oh, my goodness. Have I? Yeah. Comfort zones. I also kind of, this stems into the last topic about being afraid of, like, what people might say. The same as, like, why we stay safe in our safety zones. I did an episode on this actually on my podcast, and I believe that, like, they're the excuses we tell ourselves to keep ourselves safe, so the people are gonna say something about me or it might not work. I don't believe that's what we genuinely believe. I think that they are the things we say, and we let our ego think to kind of keep us in that safety zone. So being in our safety zone, right, is like we feel comfortable there. It's what we know, it's the role we know how to play, whether it's in relationships, like being in a safety zone where you just keep dating the same guy, I did that all the time. I kept dating the same guy because I knew how to play the role of the girl that always got hurt, and so anything other than that was, like, really scary for me. So I kind of believe we stay in these comfort zones, particularly with, like, stepping out into our light, into, like, building a business, because we're so afraid of how, like, powerful we can be and how far we might fall if we fall, because the top is so amazing. And I'm always saying to people, like, wouldn't you rather, like, see the top for a minute, even if it was just for a minute, and then fall? And wouldn't you rather feel that feeling of love because you, like, jumped out of your comfort zone and told someone how you felt about them, than not feel it at all? And so when we stay in our safety zones, we kind of, that's what keeps us stuck. That's what stops anyone from doing anything that they dream of doing. And the thing is with getting out of your comfort zone is that's kind of where all the magic happens. So I always say to people now, if something scares you, do it. And if I'm at a stage in my life where I'm kind of working along, like doing something, and I've got comfortable and there's no fear there, I kind of always sit back now and go, okay, I need to step up. What's next? Like, where I need to find some kind of fear. I love that feeling where you're like, oh, I'm scared if it's going to do well, because I know that that's me growing. Yeah, I think a lot of our need to stay in our like safety zone and our comfort zone is our need to control things. A lot of us don't even realise that like we're doing it. But I even noticed like with my events, a lot of my events are about stepping out of your comfort zone and being brave, right? That's like the whole theme of them. And I'm quite vague with what happens at the events. Like we've done enough events now. People have kind of seen all the videos. They've seen, like they can see what goes on at them and they see the feedback. But I always get people messaging me saying like, I really want to book a ticket, but like what's going to happen there? Who's going to be there? What are you going to do? And I'm always like, listen, this is the first step. It's all going to be about like stepping out of your comfort zone. And the first thing is for you to book a ticket. You know it's going to like, you know it's going to help you. The voice that's telling you to find out all the eventualities is the exact voice that keeps you safe. So I deliberately keep my like bios for the events quite vague because A, I quite often like to just let the events go where they're meant to go, but B, because I'm like, I want you to take that first step of doing something where you can't control all of the outcomes. And so when we step out of our comfort zone, we kind of lose control of all the possibilities because we've never been there before. But what I try and say to people is like, what if those possibilities are way better than you could have ever imagined or have controlled, and you're actually blocking that from happening by staying in your comfort zone? So I think the biggest thing though is people get overwhelmed with it needing to be a massive step. And I actually always say like, the best things come from the smallest steps. Like whatever your big picture is, take one small step every day that gets you out of your comfort zone, whether it's going to talk to someone really randomly and saying like, hi, just so that you can work that muscle and learn that it's the correct behavior, so that your body learns that it's a really good, like your conditioned mind kind of goes, oh, that went really well, I'm going to do that again. And I don't know, I just think the greatest things come from when you step out of that comfort zone. And the whole reason we stay there is it's that same voice that tells you you're not enough. It's that same voice that tells you you can't have what you dream of having. So it keeps you stuck in that zone where you are. So yeah, I'm a big fan of stepping out of comfort zones.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think you really hit on something with that issue of control. And we little human beings, you know, one of... 7.5 billion on a tiny planet in a massive universe, think we can be in control of everything. Yeah. And we are not in control. And it's actually okay to not be in control, because somehow the planets keep, you know, spinning and the world keeps turning. And actually, if we can relax into that, like amazing things can happen.
Yeah, I'm the worst sometimes. I have to really like check myself and go like, you're really trying to control all of the outcomes here. Let go and just like surrender. It's such a cliche word, but like just... let go and see what happens. And whenever I'm not controlling a situation is when the magic really happens. So I think the key is just awareness. Notice yourself if you're scared to step into something. Ask yourself why. And then once you notice that it's actually, oh, I'm afraid that I might do really well at it, or afraid that I might be seen, you can go, actually, no, like, I'm going to do this. And you kind of start making friends with that ego voice inside of you and just know that she's just there to protect you, not to hurt you. She's there to protect you. And when you know that, you kind of can work that muscle a little bit more.
It's amazing, isn't it, how there can be this fear of failing, but also fear of doing well. Oh no, it's you're like stuck in between, like they're both terrible seemingly.
I think they're the same fear as well. I think they're just the fear of being yourself. Like the fear of success, I think, way outweighs of all the clients I've worked with and the people I've spoken to. Like I think there's more people afraid of success than they are of failure. I don't believe failure exists. I'm like, I always say to people, what does failure even mean to you? And if they say to me like, oh, well, you know, launching an event and only two people coming, or starting a podcast and only two people listening, I'm like, well, isn't that amazing that you've potentially like changed two people's lives? Like we get so caught up in that how many, that actually if you can change one person's life, that is such an amazing thing. It's just, what are you defining as failure? I was actually reading a book this morning. It's actually The Course of Miracles, but made easy, the made easy version. And he literally talks about how he wrote a book and it was called The Joy Is My Compass. And it did really badly in brackets. He was like, it didn't sell. They ended up not printing it. It wasn't a best-selling book. And I kind of question why it was so bad, and did I write it wrong, or was it not meant to be? And then he said he got a letter from someone once and was like, or she stood up at an event and was like, I always dreamed of opening up like an AIDS hospice, because I was so passionate about helping people, but I was stifled by fear, couldn't do it, and your book was the sole thing that made me get up there and go and do it. Thank you so much. And he was like, I noticed in that moment that even though my book failed technically to the outside world based on measures and achievement, I had helped someone create an AIDS hospice, like that, if that was my only purpose with that book, then it was great. So I think it's more about redefining what failure even means to who, by whose measures, because we're the only people setting that standard.
This podcast episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Therapy has massively helped me in the past to make sense of my thoughts and process my emotions. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating with them in under 24 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counselling that's done securely online. This service is available for clients worldwide, and BetterHelp matches you with a counsellor based on what it is that you want to work on and their expertise. It's more affordable than traditional offline counselling, and financial aid is also available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. And BetterHelp are doing a special offer for Karma U listeners. You get 10% off your first month when you visit trybetterhelp, that's betterhelp.com/KarmaU. That URL again, trybetterhelp.com/KarmaU to get 10% off your first month's online counselling.
That's so true, isn't it? Because Often we'll think, oh, I failed, but what number of people have to come to make it? And often in our minds, it can be infinite. There's no amount of books that I could sell that would make me feel successful if you're in that mindset.
Yeah.
So.
And who's telling you? Like, who's telling you it's right or wrong? Yes, obviously you can compare like your podcast listens to someone else's, but that's not really what you're here for. You're here to help people with your podcast, isn't it? And of course, the more people it gets to, the more people you help. But I definitely think the fear of our success and how amazing and like worthy and capable we are is probably one of the biggest things that I see. It's sad. It's sad. So sad. But it is what it is.
Yeah. What does it mean to get lit? What does this mean? How can we get lit?
So I always say that, like, I always start by telling people what it isn't. And I think we, like, being someone who's lit up is essentially someone who is in tune with their intuition. They don't wait for other people to approve of them. They're not afraid to step into their power. They are not afraid to shine their light. They are trusting. And you know what? I do this at my events. I ask people to tell me what it means to be lit before I even talk to them. And every single one of them always answers, you know, trusting authentically ourselves, shining our light, being like choosing love over fear. Like, they all know the answers, but they're never asking themselves the actual question or sitting with it. So I had this like vision of creating the Get Lit message forever. I remember saying to my business coach, I keep wanting to do something called Get Lit. I don't know where it's come from, but I just feel like it's a very today kind of way of telling people to light up, to the people who maybe aren't reading spiritual books or aren't on any kind of pathway to, like, you know, they might believe there's a little bit more out there or that they're worthy of more, but they don't know how to start. And so Get Lit, like, has quite a few different meanings, because obviously with my business coaching clients, I'm a lot like, this is about you being visible. It's about you stepping into your power and being seen and increasing your impact in the industry. But then for like our podcast listeners or our event attendees, and like the general message is like to be yourself and shine exactly who you are and who you want to be. So I always start by telling people that, like, being lit isn't about your like outwardly measures of success or how well you've been received by people or achievements or your qualifications or anything like that. It isn't about what other people think of you, and it also isn't about the things. I used to think that being lit was like having the best bag, having the best shoes, having the best clothes and all the designer things, and I still love designer things now, but my self-worth doesn't depend on it. So I used to kind of believe that if I had all of these things, I would be lit. I was trying to be seen by everyone by the clothes that I was wearing, and I was trying to be seen by like building a business, and I was trying to be seen, but really I was actually hiding who I really was. And so it's basically about being unapologetically yourself, and whatever that means for you, shining that. Some people don't want to step out and be seen by loads of people, and that's absolutely perfect too. Some people like to be introverted and stay where they are and kind of not be seen by hundreds of thousands of people, but it's about being seen as who you are and believing in yourself enough to like surround yourself with people who light you up, do a job that you love. You deserve, everybody deserves to do a job that they love, and be with people that they love and just have a hobby that they love and a passion that they love. So, yeah, it's quite a multi-dimensional meaning, but it's just essentially to just shine, whatever that looks like for you, mm-hmm. and, like, fill yourself up from the inside. So I always say, like, you got to flick your switch, but it's inside of you and it's not from all of these outwardly things. So I used to wait for someone to come over and tell me, oh, you look amazing, and it would, like, turn my light on for a little bit. And then as soon as they walk out the door, I'd be, like, looking for my next fix of that little bit of lightness. And I also believe to really, truly shine, we have to go to our shadows. We have to go to our dark places. Like, I am only doing my work now because I spent so many years hiding in my fear, not believing I was worthy, hating myself, self-doubting, talking to myself badly. And it wasn't until I looked back at that that I realised that actually maybe that's my purpose, to help other people. And often our purpose and our light kind of sits within those dark places. And I don't think you can really ever find your light without facing the dark and facing what you're, like, avoiding and doing the work on yourself, and overcoming anything that's, like, been a trauma for you or a hardship for you. So, yeah, that is what Get Lit means.
Amazing. I love that. I love that phrase, being unapologetically yourself. Yeah. I just love that. That's really empowering to me. And I think when it comes to anxiety, or, you know, a lot of people, depression, it comes down to their relationship with themselves, mm-hmm. to not feeling good enough, to not being able to feel like they're okay. And yeah. I think if we can work at that level, so many other things kind of sort themselves out,
yeah.
whether that's in your professional life or your relationships. 100%. Or, but it's such an important key thing. It's everything,
and I
really
don't think people know who they are because they spend so much time thinking what they should be or what other people are and looking outside of themselves that they don't. I remember writing down, like, what do I love doing? What makes me feel good? What lights me up? And I didn't, you know, it sounds so cliche to be like, oh, helping others, but I didn't know that that's what it was. I'll never forget, like, one time where a girl gave me money for my, like, PT sessions, and it came from her mum, who was really unwell, and it was in, and she was like, I thought you'd really appreciate this, and she kind of gave it to me in an envelope that said, like, fun money, and her mum had given it to her. So she was like, I thought you'd really appreciate me giving it to you from my mum, like, and she went to me, I don't want you to spend this on anything other than something that makes you feel amazing, like, lights you up, basically. And I was like, okay, cool, no worries. And I this was before I went to Australia, and I was like, I kept trying to find things to spend this money on, and I couldn't. It was like cash. It was like for like 10 sessions worth of PT. Just could not find anything. I was like, glasses, like, could buy them myself if, like, that doesn't, like. And I realised that all those things that I would have bought, that I was like, nope, I promise. Her mum was so ill that I was like, I'm going to stick to this. And I couldn't spend it. And, like, literally it stayed on my side for like 6 months. And then her mum passed away, sadly, and she was flying back to Australia, and she was like, I'm back for 2 weeks. I want to have one session with you. You were such a, like, pivotal part of my growth when I was in London that I want to have a session with you. So I got into the session with her and I wrote her a card. Her mum had passed away. So I was like, I better write her a card just to, like, share my condolences and say sorry. And I had this, like, overwhelming, like, feeling of, like, oh my God, I know exactly what to do with this money. And I turned up to the session, and it was just came from nothing other than, like, I wanted her mum to give her this gift back. And so I gave her the envelope back with all the money in and the note from her mum still. And I was like, this is from your mum. And, like, I just burst into tears. She burst into tears. And it was the first time that I really realised that nothing had ever made me feel that good other than giving back to someone else. Like, nothing. I was so surface level for so many years, thinking that happiness came from all these things, that was when I realised that it was about helping others. It was a really big change in my, like, whole, like, career at that point, big time.
That's so lovely. That's so lovely. Yeah, I think, you know, as human beings, it's almost an innate thing that is within all of us that we get the most meaning from being of service to other people and helping other people. And modern life and consumerism and all these things have kind of convinced us that it is these surface things that are important. And actually, you know, it's getting back to that. And sometimes it takes us going through big challenges to get to that point, our own challenges, and realizing we can come out the other side. And that's why, you know, as you said before, a lot of kind of coaches and things have been through their own crap and then come out the other side and then think, right, I want to help other people because I've been there.
Definitely.
Do you have any kind of favourite tools or practices that you can share in terms of what people can be doing, you know, at home to help themselves with the things we've been discussing?
Oh, do you know what? I have so many little tools in my bag that I kind of get out. And I think I really have spent two years mastering, like, what works for me. I used to suffer really badly from anxiety, like couldn't sleep, used to get panic attacks all the time. I changed a lot of like my health and like my diet as well. And like things like people who are quite driven or high achievers or people who want to start a business or whatever tend to be quite like intense and high. What's the word? Like in flight or fight, basically all the time. We're kind of like go, 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 go. And so I started like implementing rituals really slowly, but like I changed my whole morning. So when I was working full time, now I'm like, I start my day at like never really before 10. That's a choice. I obviously work for myself, but even when I was working full time, I basically decided I used to get up and run out the door and go to the gym at like 6 a.m. before I'd then like go to commute to work. And so I switched it and I got up early and I spent an hour at home slowly starting my day. So I would meditate. I got really into meditation, but I'm not a big meditator that goes like deep. I tend to only really have about 10 minutes. I just breathe. Like I think we kind of overcomplicate it all. I just put on some nice music and I just breathe in and out as much as I can. And I kind of just sit with it. And that really helps me. So I do that and I journal quite a lot. I just ask myself how I'm feeling. And often with business, you know, lots of fear like comes up, particularly if you're stepping out of a comfort zone. So I always say to my like clients, and I still do it myself, like, what is it that you're afraid of in this particular moment? Like, what is scaring you from stepping out of your comfort zone here? Or what happened today? And why did that happen? And how did that make you feel? And when I write, that's kind of when my magic happens. I just sometimes write things I'm like, whoa, did I write? Like, I read it back and I'm like, did I write that? And I just find it so therapeutic. What other things do I have? A lot of it is like I talk to myself quite a lot in my like head sometimes. I don't say it out loud, but I'm sure some people walk past me and they're like, what? But I think a lot of the work that we talk about is all awareness is key. So, you know, even when I used to speak in certain ways or think certain things, like when I got clear about what I was doing, I always say to people, like, write down all the things you're afraid of. For example, you can't step out until you know what's been holding you back. So I always say, like, you can't light up until you know what's been turning you off. Like, until you know what's been tripping your fuse and who's been tripping your fuse, you can't shine your light, right? So I always tell people to start with getting aware of what their actions are, what their behaviours are, what their thoughts are. And sometimes just awareness alone and just going, oh, I just did that, I'm going to stop and choose again, is like, for me, was the biggest change. You know, like, I used to eat my food and like pinch my body and be like, oh my God, I must have just put on about 10 stone. And then when I made a conscious decision and a commitment to myself that I was going to change my words, I brought awareness to it and I would literally say to myself, nope, you're amazing or you're beautiful or whatever. And it just shifts your whole energy. And I think with business stuff or with stepping out into your power, last year at the beginning, it was like this time last year, I came home and I made myself a commitment, and I call it a lit statement. I wrote myself a commitment statement or a lit statement in my phone, and I wrote all, so I started with what are all my fears, and I wrote down all the things I was afraid of and all my limiting beliefs and all the negative words that I used. And what I did was I turned it into the positive. So I created lit statements instead of, or lit formations instead of like the fear-based ones, and basically turned that into like a 3-sentence paragraph that I read out to myself every day. And that, I think that one originally last year was like, I'm not afraid, I'm committed to stepping into my power, I'm not afraid to be seen, I know that when I'm a light, I light up others, and great things happen to me, or something. It was something along those lines, and I read it to myself every morning, first thing in the morning, for 6 months, and it was just unbelievable. Like, the change was just amazing, because the more you tell yourself those things, the more you believe it, and then you sit into that energy. And this year mine's a lot more like, I'm gonna move and trust from a place of peace and clarity and calmness, because I'm quite often like go, go, go. And so it changes, and I think that's the key, is to kind of be aware that we're always evolving, and whatever your like focus might be right now doesn't mean that that's going to be your focus in 6 months' time. So yeah, I think the biggest thing was I wrote a commitment statement to myself, and I said it out loud to myself every single day. That changed so much for me, just telling myself I was worthy and I was going to be aware, change my words and choose again. Like, it really helped.
That's such a powerful one, I think. Just the act of having some intention behind what you're going into the day with and, you know, saying what you say to yourself is so important, and knowing the direction that you're going in and just reminding yourself every day. You know, it doesn't have to take long to do that, but it can be so powerful.
It's minutes. And everyone's will be different. Like, some of the girls like that I've coached, they do the same. They realise that actually they were afraid of being seen too. And so that became theirs. And some are just literally like, I choose to show up today with like confidence and energy and positivity and help one person today. Like, it completely be whatever. It will all relate back to what your fears were, what's been holding you back from stepping out. And I think that's the first exercise I would like invite anyone to do, is write down what they have been doing that's been holding them back. What behaviours do they do? How do they self-sabotage? Like, do they judge people a lot? I always say, like, what's been keeping your light off? And at, like, events, I say to people, like, behaviour is like one of the biggest things as well. So I noticed I always took the piss out of people. I always joked about people or joked about myself because I didn't want to be taken seriously. That was my way of like hiding or procrastinate. So whenever I know I'm onto something good, like whether it be planning an event or when I was thinking of, when I was literally planning out what Get Lit meant, the whole message, my first ever event was about that. And I procrastinated. So I found everything possible to do that I hadn't wanted to touch for, like, I tidied out my cupboards, I cleared out my house. I was like, I hate doing this stuff. And then I got clear, like, it was the awareness. I was like, oh my God, Becky, you do this every time you're about to shine your light. You stop yourself. So yeah, getting really clear about what's been holding you back as well is so key.
I think you're so right about the awareness. It's amazing how all these, you know, patterns can run in the background and we're not even aware that that's what's happening or realising that it's a problem. And then suddenly you shine light on it, and actually that can be enough to change it sometimes. It doesn't need to be so complicated. It's just spending that time to do that practice 100%. That you just described and get clear on what's holding you back and what your fears are.
You're so right. It is sometimes literally shining your light on it, seeing it and going, oh, like, the work is done. You don't always, like, sometimes you might need to remind yourself, re-say the words, but sometimes literally just drawing the attention to it, the work's done already. Like, your mind completely changes and how it wants to behave, like, because you'll notice every time you do it.
What's your relationship with social media like these days? I've been asking a lot of people this question.
Oh, goodness. You know what? I've always been really conflicting with this, because as someone who has like a degree in like social media marketing, basically, I think it's the most incredibly powerful tool for brands, for people with a message. Like, it's just so powerful and it's so wonderful in so many ways. Like, my group coaching community, for example, I have seen that grow purely just on social media. I wouldn't be able to do my work if it wasn't for social media. And I've seen people become best of friends through that community, sharing each other's work on social media, collaborating with one another. So I think it's really powerful, but my personal relationship with it has really changed. I don't know whether it's I've got to a certain age and it's been part of my life for so long that I'm just a bit exhausted. And I also, like, when I'm coaching my clients, particularly when they're new in the industry, I'm like, you've got to show up. You've got to be there. I spent 2 years on Instagram and on the social media world, like, reaching out, connecting, using it for all its positivity. But I think we can get so caught up in being something on social media that we forget to be ourselves outside of it, or we forget to live life. Or there's been so many experiences that, like, even when I was in that depth in Australia, you know, I always say to people, I was at the Whit Sundays, like, one of the most magical places in the world, and all I was thinking about was what photo I was going to get and how that was going to go on Instagram, instead of taking in this incredible experience. And I think it's being mindful with social media. I show up way less on social media now. I kind of show up, say a podcast has gone live, and then I remove myself again, because I decided at the beginning of this year that I wanted to focus on my community more. So people I'm working with one-to-one, or any of our clients or anything, I want to be there for them more. And every time I think of a caption for 20 minutes, that's 20 minutes that I haven't been able to be with that person. But I do think when you are kind of driven by purpose again and meaning, social media becomes a much easier place. I kind of removed anyone that was triggering me. I just built such a healthier relationship with it that now I go on it, I see the beauty in it, I share what I need to say, and then I kind of get off it. But I think a lot of people think that to be successful in business, you have to have a huge social media following, particularly like starting up. And I don't believe that at all. I think that if you're doing the right work and you're showing up in other ways, social media is an amazing additional tool rather than the business. I think that's what a lot of people can kind of get really confused by. So yeah, I've always been in two minds with it. Love it for so many reasons. And then also think it can really lead people the wrong way and focus on the wrong things. So I think it's just being mindful with it. But yeah, I use it way less. I don't know if that's what other people are saying.
Yeah,
but
that's
they
a
do.
Good.
Yeah,
it's a good position to be in. I think it can take over. And I was talking to Shona Virtue earlier this morning, and she said there's an app that she uses to block. To block apps, and I need to get the name of it, but I'll maybe
put
that in
there. Apps?
So you download an app and it stops you going on Instagram, basically.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I need this. I'm going to text her after.
I remember I had 5 days off it. I do it all the time now, but I think it was like the first time I was deciding I needed to spend less time on it. I took 5 days off it, and I literally just put it into another... I think I deleted the app from my phone. I can't tell you how many times I picked up my phone and I was like talking to someone. I'd like pick up my phone and my thumb just went to where it was. And I was like, oh my God, it's like, it's not even a thought process anymore. It's just a habit.
Mm.
So I don't, you know what I don't do? I don't really scroll anymore. I kind of show up, see what my friends are doing, see what my like peers are doing, support them. And then I leave. I don't mindlessly sit there for hours scrolling anymore. No way. But the screen time tells you that now as well, doesn't it? Or you can, yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, yeah. Shames you into
That's like, oh gosh.
Because I've had a few retreats that I've been on this year where I've had breaks of like 1 or 2 weeks from no email, no WhatsApp or anything. And I've learned that life doesn't end, that there are not disasters or things that I need to know about. Actually, the world carries on turning and I don't need to be, you know, checking in on these things quite so often. So that has helped to reset me, I think, in some ways.
Big time.
So it's quite helpful
to
do that.
I think we can get caught up when our job is helping people. We worry that if we don't show up for a bit on those like platforms, that people are like, our business is going to fail, or people aren't going to think that we're doing our job. And we kind of almost get really caught. I feel like sometimes I have to reply to every single DM from someone asking me questions. I think you have to put your boundaries up.
Mm.
I haven't ever done, I'll be really honest, I've never done a week with no emails and no social media. I've done no social media, I can handle that, but I find it really hard to not look at my emails and really detach. That's something I'm definitely going to challenge myself to this year, for sure.
I saw recently another coach posting that in this year she was giving up emails and just getting her team to do all the emails and just asking her questions. I'm like... Yeah. Considering that, and that's quite appealing to me.
I write the content for my emails, for like newsletters that go out. I write them, but my team do all the bits around it. And sometimes now, particularly with the group coaching community, the girls just know my tone of voice and they write it for me and I okay it. But replying to emails, I've got way better at not replying to everyone. Sorry if anyone ever gets annoyed by me, but I really like... I don't reply to a lot of emails now unless they're like, I have the capacity to.
Yeah.
Because I used to be really like also one of those people that had to reply straight away. Otherwise I'd get anxiety if I left it there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've really tried to like work around that. But no, I'm desperate. I'm definitely going to do like a complete no work week, I think, or two maybe at some point this year.
Yeah.
Just switch off.
Yeah. I think we all need that.
Yeah.
Digital detoxes of some kind.
Definitely.
Becky, thank you so much for sharing all that you've shared. You've been so generous of what you've shared with us.
Thank you.
Where can people find out more about you and what you're doing and what you're offering at the moment?
So we have the Get Lit website. So that's just getlitinc.co.uk. And then I have mine, beckyrabin.com. I think it's .com. Where can we show up? So we're hosting an event in March. I'm not sure how long, if there'll be tickets left when this
what
goes
date
out.
Is
28th
it?
Of March
okay.
is, which is all going to be about, the focus of the event is going to be like bravery, overcoming fear, stepping out of your comfort zone. You don't have to have a business or even want to have your own business. It's just about becoming your more motivated and like lit up self, essentially. I have a podcast, which is at the moment, it's just solo episodes. So I just host it. So it's called the Get Lit with Becky Rabin podcast. It's solo episodes. And then I do live coaching calls as well with clients. They can call in and ask me a question. We're just going to start doing guest episodes now because I'm like, there's just so many people I want to speak to. On social media, Becky Rabin. And then if you are someone who is looking to step into the entrepreneurial like realm, particularly in the wellness industry, or you already are a coach, then I have my group coaching community, which is called the Get Lit Click. So it's a business coaching membership. It's literally £25 a month. And in there, you kind of get access to a community of like-minded people. So there's like 200 people in there, and they're all been in the same position as you, and everyone's just like, you know, you just, you know, you're going to message someone and they're going to be like, of course, let's go for coffee. Like, I see them all the time having lunches and brunches together, and some of them have become like lifelong friends, which is just, if anything, I'm so glad I set it up for that. Yeah. You know what was the least important part? Not important part, but when I set it up, it was just like, oh, and you're going to a Facebook group. Like, I didn't realize the power of it. And I actually, most people, when they give us feedback, are like, I'm in it because of the community. I don't even use the resources. And then you also get access to like, called the Members Lounge. So on there is like tons of masterclasses, workshops, webinars, all on how to build your business. So like, find your niche, know your audience, create a social media strategy, literally everything. Build, like, start a podcast, build a membership program. We kind of cover it all. So yeah, that's me. That's where you can find me.
Exciting. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you gained a lot from this episode. Come on over to Instagram and let me know, what are you taking from this episode? Find me at Chloe Brotheridge. And I would love it if you would leave me a review in the podcast app or in iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, leave me a rating. And is there someone in your life that would really benefit from this podcast? You can let them know by sharing this podcast. I'd be so, so grateful. So I'm just wishing you a wonderful week ahead, sending you loads of love. Hopefully you'll tune in again, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.